what went into the decision to map it out the way you did?
Well, there was a series of things we looked at. We wanted to do it by pre-K to 12 feeder pattern so that when we were in a community, we could have the continuous flow from the entire time a child is in school. We wanted to make sure that they were geographically contiguous, so we didn't have, for example, part of an area way in the north and part way in the south or east or west. We wanted it to be regions by high schools so we could use those K-12 feeder patterns. We wanted to try to look at keeping municipalities or major geographic factors together. And then we also wanted to look at issues such as demographics and just keep socioeconomics and things like that.
When you say you look at issues of demographics, you mean more of like equal numbers, or is it possible to have equal numbers?
It's impossible to make areas that are exactly equal because our kids don't come in nice, easy groups that our housing patterns are by different squares of areas have the same number of kids. It just does not work. So that's the first challenge we face. And then we looked at reasonable numbers of kids, and we wanted to keep these at 25,000 students or less initially. And we know we'll have growth over time. And then besides that as well, we wanted to look at and make sure that we didn't have all of our students who socioeconomic status has them living more in poverty to be clustered into one area. We didn't want that to happen. We do have the achievement zone, which we're trying to do sort of academic intensive care for, but we didn't want to also then overlay it with other zones that have all the kids that live in poverty.
And just for clarification, the achievement zone is very specific schools within the district, not necessarily just one area of it, correct?
That's right. What the achievement zone is, it's 10 schools, and those 10 schools happen to be split amongst four of the new areas. Three of the areas have three students and three schools, and one has one school. And the schools are in that status just until they improve the academic performance, then they'll exit that area.
And what is the overall goal in splitting up the district into these six areas?
It's about providing service. We have got to provide better and better service every year for all of our schools, students, and communities. And we want to be more responsive and provide better service, and we think this is a technique or tool to use to assist us in doing that.
Has your office gotten any response yet from the public about this? As I understand it, they didn't get to give input on the actual drawing of the maps.
We have not had any formal response from the public. We did not include a public input phase in the development of these areas. You know, these are operational zones. These are not student assignment. These are not school assignments. These are not magnet areas. This is for us to internally provide service. Now, certainly in this community, with the issues of equity and desegregation issues from past and current, there always will be concerns when we draw areas. We realize that. But these are for service. This is not where students will be assigned for a cluster of schools for attendance or things like that.
This is going to cost $8 million?
$8 million in four different types of funds, so to speak. And let me give you the example of what those types of funds are. There are one-time facilities costs. There are ongoing facilities costs. There are operations costs, which would be, for example, utilities, consumable items like paper, photocopies, et cetera. And then there are personnel costs. We will be able to cover the personnel costs and the operations costs by redirecting from existing positions. And then we are also working on how do we come up with the facilities costs and looking at funding available. Some of that will be one time, as I mentioned, and some will be ongoing.
Dr. Peter Gorman, thank you very much.
Glad to be with you. Have a great day.